For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Here it is. Here's the opinion. You should date the girl that's closer, and if you want to date the other one, you should move. That's the opinion.
I have a different approach. Okay. I think you should date the girl that's closer, but continue texting the other girl.
And then you both, you ask, invite them both to the prom.
Yes. And then you just say, and then the girl that lives an hour away, she's saying to you all the time, like, why do we always stop at this turnpike restroom? Why are we always stopping here? What's going on? And that's your secret rendezvous. And you meet at the vending machine and you get a bag of crisps from the vending machine and you enjoy it. And then you have to part ways. But maybe love grows from the constraint. I don't think you should cheat on the girl that's an hour away with the girl that's 6.5 hours away. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast where everything's computer. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Oh, I loved that. That was so good.
I've been telling everybody. Everything's computer.
I've been saying this for a long time. This is the first step of the Butlerian Jihad. Speaking of computer, I wanted to talk about Blessed Carlo Acutis for a second.
Okay.
And Halo, the app.
Okay. Wow. So you're Halo really trying to get me riled up on a Thursday afternoon.
Halo was number two. Listen, this is what I'm saying. All right. Number two on the App Store. They had a Super Bowl commercial. They've got every freaking prayer ever. They're like bringing Gwen Stefani is Catholic now somehow. If Carlo Acutis made a list and got canonized, Alex Jones immediately canonized upon death. That
actually is a really good point.
If that's the standard, Alex Jones, immediate canonization, maybe even preemptive canonization.
The bigger the website you make, the holier you are.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Man, I've got
Jeff Bezos is going to go to a heaven where everyone is bald.
He's going to go to bald heaven.
Bald heaven. And some people, everyone thinks it's Catholic Protestant. No. Bald heaven and everyone else, and the people who are actually in heaven.
Jeff Bezos' punishment in the circle of hell for, I don't know, what circle of hell would he be in? He wouldn't be in the deepest one because that's reserved for like intellectual sins. His punishment in the third circle for greed will be they cut off his head and they draw three little circles on it and they use it as a bowling ball.
Oh, that's cool. And then the pins? Who are the pins? Ooh, who would the pins be? Maybe like
Mark, it's just 10 Mark
Cronies. Oh yeah, I was gonna say his like they take all the plastic from his current girlfriend and they mold it into a bowling pin. In hell.
Yeah.
I don't know the state of the souls of Jeffrey and his very, very young
Jeff's punishment in hell is that he's consigned to a life of amassing wealth and marrying younger and younger women, and they keep divorcing him and taking half of it. And every time he grows, he can never become the richest man because he keeps marrying and divorcing over and over and over. Not that he's divorced multiple times. He only divorced once.
He just keeps splitting his wealth until eventually he only has a penny.
And isn't it crazy the richest woman in the world is rich because she divorced Jeff Bezos?
I'm going to go on a limb and say that that's not the craziest thing that I've ever heard.
Fair enough. That's not that crazy.
It's not that crazy.
It is funny. Sense. I think it's funny. Yeah.
You think it's funny that women can't be rich by themselves?
No, they can. Oprah.
You think that, what's the name?
J.K. Rowling.
No. Barbara. From Shark Tank.
Manatee? Oh.
Barbara Corcoran. She's just done wonderfully for herself. You know,
I think
she's a very powerful woman. Well, she's kind of invested in various asset classes to grow wealth over a period of years. That's just one thing I know about her.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Or Zodiac.
Mark Barnes is right about the stock market.
What did he say about the stock market?
He said it's gay. Mark Barnes in New Polity wrote a whole essay about how the stock market is gay. And I was like, that's
really?
Yeah.
Like spiritually was, homosexual or just like yeah. gay as a pejorative?
No, not gay as a pejorative. He would never stoop to that level. But it was like his whole thesis was that since the stock market is predicated upon you keep putting money in and mm-hmm. all you get out is money. Like you don't mm-hmm. you don't get anything tangible.
There's
like,
nothing new.
There's not so it's money is a seed funding. Money is a seed and it's seed for its own sake. And he was like, it's very homosexual. I was like, Mark, this is funny. Because he's right. Like yes. that's the thing. It's like it's funny because it's true thing. I was like, it's a convincing argument, honestly. Unfortunately,
I'd say the worst part about that is that now you have ruined the lives of every waiter and waitress that serves me at a restaurant moving forward, because I'm going to leave a tip and be like, just a little bit of seed for you that I'm dropping off.
A little bit of seed for you.
A little bit of seed in the tip.
I make sure I only carry it in one so I can spread my seed all over the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You ring up the groceries at the Costco, $400 because you got the big thing of pretzels. And and you go, whoa, lots of seed today.
Yeah,
and they geez. Look and they call the Costco police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's no good.
He says that like
he's right.
To go buy things is to use money for its own purpose. You like you've now planted the seed in the cash register.
Right,
and you get big.
That's true. That's true. The
or
pretzels are
you,
the fruit
you
of my
invest
loins.
In a fence company, and you put money in a fence company. And then you build an asset that, you know, you now hire people and they mm-hmm. You have customer acquisition and you know, now there's all this cool stuff that's growing. And unfortunately, the stock market is the opposite of that, where you just put money yeah. in and get money out
right.
of other people's assets. So
there's
money out
with,
your asset.
With the word. Yeah. With the word.
Yeah.
Asset.
There's something. Yeah, you ever feel like, oh, yeah, no, we're not talking about the stock market today.
We're not talking about this today. We're not talking about the stock market today. We're going to have a very special episode.
I'm bleeding.
We were so boring that Patrick started to bleed.
No, my beautiful baby girl, my beautiful daughter, clawed me this afternoon with her.
11 from Stranger Things. You tried to podcast and you got a nosebleed and you passed out.
I never saw it. I was more of a Daredevil guy. When that was coming
Stranger
out.
Things is a show about a young girl who tries to podcast, but can't because the government is trying to lock her up.
My sister-in-law looks like 11, or at least she did. Mm-hmm. And so I've always felt a spiritual kinship with Stranger Things because my sister-in-law looks like Millie Bobby Brown.
Well, the weird thing now is that nobody looks like Millie and Bobby Brown because she has had a million injections. She looks like a completely different woman than when she...
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Millie and Bobby Brown is a totally different person.
Please pull up a photo of this. Of this
I don't want to shame. Child. I don't want to shame a child. But,
is she still a child?
I don't know. How old is she, Bobby Brown?
Somebody asked Drake. Is she still a child?
Yeah, I was about to go there. She's 21 years old, so she's not. She's not
that. Yeah, it's fine.
Millie Bobby Brown, recent.
Why on earth would a human being at that 21 years old get?
I don't know.
Get
I could.
Done?
It could be an assumption. On my part, but there was a photo that came out recently where she just did not look good. She looked like a really old, yeah, she looks like Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh no.
From Legally Blonde.
From Robots.
From Robots. this is what I'm talking
about.
The other
day it was the 20th anniversary of Robots. Oh, she,
you see this? Yeah,
she does look kinda, like Jennifer Coolidge. Oh,
yeah.
No.
It's like, why did you do that?
Oh no. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's beautiful in her own way, and I'm not trying to shame anybody, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, we're not here to talk about 21-year-old women.
As much as I would love to become the Whatever Podcast, the Catholic version.
I would love to not become the Whatever Podcast, actually.
Patrick, what are we doing today? What are we doing? What are we bringing back in a special once-in-a-lifetime
We have a bunch of
event.
Questions from the dating show that we never got to.
Oh.
That I was looking through and I was like, dang, these are actually kind of great. And so I want to read them and I want us to give advice on the podcast
yes.
again.
Yes.
I think that we should
yes.
give advice on the
yes.
podcast again.
Yes.
But first off, remember to like and subscribe because we're on YouTube now.
Over 1,000 subscribers. This is our 1,000 subscriber celebration.
This is our 1,000 subscriber celebration. You should vamp while I pull up the questions and also pull up a comment from our most recent episode, which is something else I want to do.
Oh.
I want to reward the people for commenting. So if you comment a good comment, it could be read on the show. My favorite comment from last week's episode was...
You asked me to vamp.
There's
eight
comments.
Instead.
Heck yeah. I vamped instead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
My favorite comment is placeholder to come back and talk about those who served in the United States House of Representatives. I don't think you guys need to leave better comments. Ben Eastman said, Bishop Barron is in the thumbnail. Get him. Thank you, Ben. That was a great comment. Be Amen. Like Ben, everyone. Please leave comments on this episode of The Crunch. That does it for this week's comment. Remember the Crunch of the Week?
Yeah. Where we talked about the reviews. We got a lot of reviews that way. Maybe we should go back to that.
Maybe we should do that again.
Yeah. We used to do so many things. We've done a lot of good things at different times. We've never done them all at once.
The problem is we got to write them down. You know, we don't write them down.
No, we don't. Give us the first question. I'm ready to get back into advice mode. I'm not calling this Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner because we give advice on more than just dating here on this program.
Yes. This question comes from November 5th, and it's about election season. So maybe we win that one.
No, bring it in. Bring it.
Okay, this one comes from Katie. Genuine inquiry.
Mm.
How do you start dating someone during an election? Neither of us enjoy politics. We both have discussed that we don't like the tension it caused. However, we have no idea who we voted for. I don't know if he's Republican or Democrat, but it doesn't really matter to me. But my dad might disown me if I end up with a Democrat. And I just don't know how to even approach that subject with sensitivity. Tonight will be our third official date. He's a practicing Catholic. He prays, but who knows what camp he's in? You never know these days. So basically, what are some indirect questions I can ask on our date to see what his vibe is? That's a great question.
That is really good. I think the nice thing, so we live in a hyper-political, politically charged atmosphere.
More divided than we have ever been.
Yeah, right. I just saw a video of J.D. Vance going to a concert, and everybody saw him walk in. They were all booing him. Boo.
Yeah, that's the worst thing that's ever happened to someone in the balcony of the Lincoln.
He was at the Kennedy Center, so could have gone down. So everyone's booing, and it makes me harken back to a day when, like, Al Gore would be up there, and everyone would just be like, who's that? You know?
No, this is the most a vice president has ever gotten.
That's true.
I think maybe with the exception of the last 2 years of the Reagan administration when he was trying to run his VP for a third term, which we might have that set up now. But
yes.
Who knows?
Walter Mondale. I don't know who Reagan's VP was.
Reagan's VP was George H.W. Bush.
Ah, good to know. So I think it's...
Who was then president?
Yeah, well, yes. I think this is relevant even outside of the actual election because it is very political. I think you can learn a lot by asking because there's lots of little breadcrumbs that you can...
There's little things you can ask,
little things you can be like, what do you think of raw milk? Ever had raw milk? Ever tried that?
You got to ask them what their favorite electric vehicle is.
Yeah.
If they say Prius, you got to dump them. You can't bring them home to dad. They say Tesla.
Mm-hmm. You go out to dinner... And you ask the waitress, hey, do you have any food without seed oils? And you just kind of look. And if they jump on board, it's like, okay, maybe there's something here. You can say something like, oh, you know, I'm so glad that Hamilton isn't on Broadway anymore. That's maybe not as subtle as it could be. You could ask, usually, like, what's your favorite musical? That's a good one. What's your favorite
musical?
That is
a good one.
That's
a
great
one.
Because if they come out swinging with Hamilton, then you're like, ooh. Mm,
if they answer too quickly.
Then you might be on a date with a homosexual. But if they say something like, oh, my favorite musical is... If they say, oh, I've only seen one musical, and it's like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, you know.
Or West Side Story.
I've never seen West Side Story. Sound of Music. That's a very safe answer. Sound
that is
music.
A safe answer.
Yeah.
Guys and Dolls.
Never seen that. You were in Guys and Dolls.
I was the main character. I was the title character.
You were
one of the guys. Yeah. Ah, you got it. I still think about that play because I really wanted one of the lead roles, but in the cold, we did like cold read where we read through the whole script, and I randomly got picked to read this one character, and the line delivery was so good that I was instantly cast as that character,
base
like some side character.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, I should have pulled that. I should have pulled my punch.
You were too good.
I like everyone, the whole group laughed, and then the director of the theater, it was one of like the community theaters, the director of the theater was like, I know what role you're playing. And I was like,
suffering from success. What are some other ways that people can suss out, you know, political affiliation contentious?
For longevity's sake, I don't think we should just stick with the crunchy stuff, because that used to be left wing and now it became right wing, and it could swing, the pendulum could swing back. Who knows? It always does. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, ask them a favorite podcast. That's an easy one.
Favorite podcast.
What podcast do you listen to? And they'll probably hold back on the conservative ones. But if they go like, I don't really listen to podcasts, you know, they're a lefty.
You can also ask something like, what's your favorite, what's your comfort TV show that you watch? That's a pretty big, if they say
RuPaul's Drag Race,
if they say Seinfeld, you're in the clear. If they say the Bachelor at dangerous, you know, this is more than just political. This is like a world.
I do think watching The Bachelorette might be a sin.
Yeah.
I do think that might be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Bachelor, the favorite TV show one, you could just come right out and like, bring up a transgender celebrity and just misgender them. I think that's what they should do. Wow. They just go for the jugular there.
You could try a great joke that I came up with and I put on X that nobody liked. It said transgender with allergies be like, my pronouns are Z Zyrtec.
It was a little bit of a head scratcher.
It's a bit of a head scratcher if you don't hear it out loud, but if you say it,
Z Zyrtec
is pretty funny.
Well, the Z Zyr pronoun thing is kind of
it's not. I was taking Zyrtec and I thought in my delirium that maybe I could make a joke, but
I did walk out of church the other day and saw my windshield was just yellow and I was like, poor Ethan.
Yeah. It just rained. It rained so much one day and it was all on the trees. It was all on the trees and it was safe there and it lived there. And then the rain comes down and then it just goes, the moisture makes it go in the air everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was really, it's going to be really windy tomorrow. So I'm going to load up tonight. I'm going to take as many experimental drugs as I can.
ask them if they want to go to Steak and Shake, and if they say yes, because apparently Steak and Shake is based now. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that.
They just went, which I think is an interesting strategy for a brand. They're like, yeah, Steak and Shake is MAGA now. It's like, okay, all right, fine, whatever.
I wish more businesses would take that stance.
That's not the weirdest thing that's happened in the last 2 months.
Yeah,
they changed the name of an ocean. Cool.
I went on a cruise recently. It was like a cruise to Mexico. We left from Miami and then we went through the Gulf of, and then just see what they fill in with. If they say Gulf of Mexico.
And don't immediately. And you dead name a person and then dead name the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. And then, just drive through a construction site and just kind of say like, it's so good to see so many American construction workers.
Dude, I a friend, I don't know, maybe I can tell this story on the podcast, but a friend of mine, him and his wife were walking through their neighborhood and this like kind of lib lefty couple came up to them and they were talking and they were like, so how are you? They're both Hispanic. That's important for the story. They were like, are you guys okay with like Trump's whole new thing? Like, are you guys doing okay with Trump's whole new thing? And they're like, oh yeah, we're both like citizens. We were born here. And they go, yeah, but still. My favorite part is that my friend is Puerto Rican.
That's so funny.
He couldn't even get deported if they wanted to deport him. He'd just go to Puerto Rico, which is part of America.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still. There's nothing like leftist racism is funnier than right-wing racism. Right-wing racism is just sad. Like, they just post a picture of JD's wife and they say something nasty. But left-wing racism is fun because they're like, they're trying, you know, they're trying to be really polite.
Yeah. That like they're tripping over themselves to not do something, but in doing so, they reveal that they still think of these people as sufficiently other than themselves so that they can't act normal, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, that was not Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream, I will say.
No. Content of the character.
Yes.
Sweet. I think we've sufficiently figured out how you can identify libs. If you tell them about your Hispanic parents and they ask you if you're going to get deported, if they ask you, if they make a joke, they're right wing. Okay. This is the next question.
I'm ready.
Here's my conundrum. I met a cute girl. Well, great.
You're doing all right then.
Easy. A couple weeks ago in a city 6.5 hours away from where we live, she's a Christian. How did you? I know, right?
Just ran into her.
I just hopped on a Greyhound and just, you know, chucked it over.
We were both at the Turnpike restroom and we chatted each other up.
She's a Christian, works at a pro-life crisis pregnancy center. The problem is I also met and went out with a girl who lives only 1 hour away. The first girl and I have been texting, but the second girl has agreed to go on a second date. All things being equal, the only reason I would pick one girl over the other is one is closer. Should I keep texting the first girl, go on a video chat date until me and the other girl possibly commit, or should I explain to the first girl I met someone else and focus on the second girl? What do you think?
Oh, I have a headache. I think... I don't know. I can't tell you what to do. This is kind of up to your preference. There's not a right or wrong answer here. There's like, what do you want? Is the question. Do you want to date someone you like more but lives 7 hours away? Or do you want to date someone that you like well enough but lives an hour away? What do you want? Who do you like more? Circle it on the post-it note and then pass it back to me in class.
I think he should just go for the closer one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. Let me speak this into the universe and see if it
rings. What if Phoebe lived 6 hours away from you? Would you just date someone who's closer?
No, I would move.
That's what I'm saying. There you go. If she's the right one.
Here it is. Here's the opinion. You should date the girl that's closer, and if you want to date the other one, you should move. That's the opinion.
I have a different approach. Okay. I think you should date the girl that's closer, but continue texting the other girl.
And then you invite them both to the prom.
Yes. And then you just say, and then the girl that lives an hour away, she's saying to you all the time, like, why do we always stop at this Turnpike restroom? Why are we always stopping here? What's going on? And that's your secret rendezvous. And you meet at the vending machine and you get a bag of crisps from the vending machine and you enjoy it. And then you have to, part ways. But maybe love grows from the constraint. I don't think you should cheat on the girl that's an hour away with the girl that's 6.5 hours away.
No, I think if you're talking to someone via text and you're kind of going on dates and hanging out with someone else, that's fine. I think as long as you're not giving an indication that you're exclusive, it's all good. You're just hanging out. That's fine. And then when it becomes exclusive with one of them, you got to cut it off with the other. It's easy. I think you just keep doing what you're doing, man.
I actually do. Keep stringing them both along until one of them confesses their love for you and then go with the other one.
You got to make sure you hold all the cards. You got to have a pair of queens. You got to see the flop. All right.
Nice.
Thanks.
Nice.
All right. This one comes from, oh wait, I have an update from 3.5 years ago.
Oh, let's bring that up now.
What's
the update?
I don't know. I just see an update from 3.5 years ago in the episode, Old Bessie Kicked Me in the Chest. That's weird when someone says an episode name, I'll remember it. I'll be like, oh yeah, that's a classic episode. But I if you asked me to name episodes, I wouldn't be able to.
No, I wouldn't be able to either.
Here I am with maybe one of the craziest updates. I have listened to the entirety of your podcast from the beginning and have been waiting to get to be caught up until I submitted this. Somewhere in 2021, I think, my father, Napweed, submitted a question to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. I am Rose. I remember this.
Yeah.
Napweed and Rose, in the episode Old Bessie Kicked Me in the Chest, around the 50-minute mark, he totally exposed my cringy teenage Twitter-patedness with my boyfriend, Dandelion, and cruelly and harshly showed me the episode where you guys responded to his question after I told him we broke up as a way of consoling me, I guess. So this girl listened to the entirety of our podcast back catalog because her dad submitted a question.
That's crazy.
That's
wild.
There's
so many better uses of your time. Yeah.
501. By the way, congratulations to us. 500 episodes. We didn't make any fanfare at all.
No, there's no reason to.
Yeah.
Not until you get to 1,000.
He rubbed it in. My question is this. How do I deal with an overbearing helicopter father who embarrasses me?
Yeah.
His sensitive and vulnerable teenage psyche for the whole world to see two underpaid podcast hosts to laugh at. I'm kidding. I love my dad and understand where he was coming from. Hi, Dad, if you're listening. Still not a cool move, though. Anyway, after Dandelion became Pigweed and Nettles and a whole lot of hurt, but I'm happy to say I found my way back to Christ and he led me to my now husband. My Moonflower and I, that's so cute, have been happily married for 7 months now, and my relationship with my parents, Napweed and Tulip, has continued to be such a part of my life. So thank you for telling my dad 4 years ago to not let me follow my teenage heart. Wow, that's cool. Look at
us. I love making a difference in the world in your flower-based family.
I was like, yeah. I was worried there. I was like, oh, we're going to get called out. Did Ben set us up? Oh, man. That's a good
those
update.
Are,
go
those
listen
are nice
to that
people.
Episode.
Yeah. Do you live in a conservatory?
I like that they all... It's great because I know we didn't come up with Pigweed and Nettles and Tulip. I know you were like Napweed and Dandelion. So I think this must have become an inside joke in their family where they all have flower names. I think that's
I don't think I could name a flower if you had a gun to my head and my family's heads.
I didn't come up with Napweed. Did you up with Napweed?
I'm telling you that I'm constitutionally incapable of naming a flower. So
Rose
from Titanic?
Yes, okay. Oh man, this is good. Yeah, all of these are dating questions. By the way, if you want to submit advice, dating advice, whatever, any kind of advice, if you want to submit advice, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, join our Discord, ask a question in the Dating Corner chat or the Town Hall chat, and we will answer. We have our admins collect questions. They'll send them to us, and we'll answer questions on the podcast.
Or if your question is more of a private nature, you can email it to patrick@thecrunchcast.com. He will answer it, or he'll bring it to the show. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Another dating conundrum from Gerardo. I don't know why I had such trouble with that. I was trying to give it the soft G.
Mm-hmm.
Like you. You're a soft G.
Thanks.
You're welcome. What is the general approach for asking out someone again after a long period of time has passed and circumstances have changed? I'm ready to get back into the dating game. For those of you who know about my previous dating issue, we don't. So thank you for filling us in. The relationship ended about a month ago, and by the time me and my ex officially broke up, we had both already moved on. And recently, a girl I asked out re-entered my life. I asked her out in October of 2023. And she said no, mainly because she was already seeing someone else. And the last time I saw her, and that was the last time I saw her until now, I want to respect her no. But I want to respect her no and never think about asking her out again. But this time feels different since it was so long ago and she's no longer with anyone. What do you think?
So she said no because she was dating someone else. And this was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, a year and a half ago, she said she told me no, but mainly because she was already seeing someone else.
Yeah, I think you ask her out again, and then if she says no again, you know that it's because she doesn't like you. Otherwise, you're just going to sit there for the rest of your life wondering, you know, what do I do? I don't think there's any rules about these kinds of things. You people get so tied up in like, can I do this or can't I do that? You can do just about anything that isn't like a gross violation of someone else's dignity. So minor violations we can talk about, but just don't. Yes. Anyway, small violations,
small
violations. Everyone is so worked up about what they can or cannot do, yes. Patrick. And yeah, I think this is a small way of thinking about life. Life is not about what I can or can't do. Life is about what is all the possibilities that are open to me in the world in front of me. This woman is one of billions on the planet Earth. And so you can just go up to her and you can say something to her and she can say, never talk to me again. I hate your guts. And you will still be okay. In fact, you could get a billion women to say, I hate your guts. Don't ever talk to me again. And you would still be able to have a decent chance of finding one to marry. Can you think about that? It's crazy. True. Like, there's a lot of people out there. You're so worried about this one girl. You need to worry about yourself.
You know how many people want to live in America? Sorry.
there's many.
Maybe not the time. All right. sweet. Yeah, that's a lot of our dating questions come down to, hey guys. The rules you're making up are
there's no people. Yeah, it's all in your head.
Yeah.
This is true for everything. I saw a post on the Yard subreddit because there's a t-shirt that the Yard podcast made where Slime is on the back smoking out of a crack pipe. And it's a very funny shirt. In the front, it says Girls Night. Or on the back, it says Girls Night. And then it's him smoking out of a crack pipe. It's a very funny shirt. And someone posted on the Yard subreddit and they were like, hey guys, I usually wear this shirt on Thursdays when the podcast comes out, but I'm worried what people on my college campus will think. What should I do? And it's just like, you're an adult in college. You can wear a shirt with a crack pipe on it if you want to. Why are you asking the internet? Why do you care what the internet thinks about your decision? And also, why do you care what your college campus thinks about your decision? Just wear the crack pipe shirt. Or don't. You know?
Maybe don't. But
I can't think of any decision in my life where I would go to the internet and be like, hey guys, I don't know what to do. But that's maybe why I'm on this side of the microphone. You know,
that is true. And also ChatGPT is making this worse. It's only going to make things worse. I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to people that are like, yeah, I didn't know what to do, so I asked ChatGPT. I'm like, oh, we can't be doing that. We got to use our brains to come up with decisions. We got to be doing that. You can't be asking the internet, and people are going to stop asking the internet. They're going to start asking ChatGPT, and the internet's just going to become ChatGPT talking to itself.
Well, there's going to be people are going to get those AI girlfriends. And like the animated, you know, like the ones that talk to you and do a little dance when you put in 5 coins. And they're going to ask the AI girlfriend, I want to get a real girlfriend. What should I do? And the AI girlfriend's going to say, don't leave me.
Yeah.
And then you'll be stuck in a relationship with your AI girlfriend.
Paying money to Skynet.
Yeah. Please deposit $5 more for 2 more weeks of relationship.
It's actually Father, not a bad I cannot idea. Click the book.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's
from. That's from a meme. It's like every boomer meme is like a little kid talking to his dad. Father, I cannot click the book.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because everything's computer.
Everything is computer, including women. Okay. At what point of a budding relationship do you bring up those sorts of past indiscretions? What, Anchor, what are you talking about? What does he mean?
Look at that time you sat in a pie sensually.
That's really embarrassing.
For someone. Not me. What is he? Is that the whole question?
The man's got to make money somehow, all right?
That's true. It's a tough economy out there.
It's a tough. See the price of eggs these days? So you got to sit in a pie. I got to feed my family.
Got to sit in a pie and upload it to your AI girlfriend.
At what point of a budding relationship do you bring up those sorts of past indiscretions? My immediate gut reaction.
That's the whole question. He doesn't give any more context. Okay.
He just says those. And just based on the zero context that I have, except for the word budding, during the budding relationship, never.
Nothing. During a budding relationship, you should only talk about how cute you think each other are.
Yes. Now is not the time.
Yeah.
There are very few things. Like, what could he mean? Any fill in the blank? Don't bring it up. There's no reason to.
When you're in a budding relationship, you need to be saying things like, let's go look at the stars, you know, because you're not doing that any other time in a relationship. I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't think I've looked at the stars in a minute.
I haven't seen. I could not tell you where the stars are at the moment. I'm completely upside down on the stars. You got to be doing things like, let's go get ice cream. Let's stay up late and watch a movie together. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm recording a podcast while my wife is laying in bed. You know, and as soon as this is over, I'm taking out my contacts.
Taking a Zyrtec.
You're taking a Zyrtec, getting myself so high off the antihistamine that I hope that it persists through the next day, preventing me from falling seriously ill.
You need to go.
Here's what you need to do. You need to go downtown and find like a little, you know, like a mural on a wall and have a stranger take your photograph in front of it and then post it on Instagram and say, I love going around the world with you. That's what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
You don't need to be talking about anything.
No, you don't need to bring it. Right now, this is the most important person in your life. And you're like, wow, this is so incredible. We're going to be together forever. So I gotta bare my soul so she knows my whole me. No. You don't know it's going to last. I'm sorry.
This is why breakups are so bad for people.
Yeah, because they throw things out. And you don't know. And you can't keep doing that. Like, extrapolate that on for as many girlfriends as you're going to have until you get married. That all you can't have all of those people knowing your business. There's a reason why confession is private.
This is also the reason why sexual intimacy is reserved for the marital covenant. Is this exact same problem? Is you bare all with your bare butt and such?
That's fair. That is true.
You give yourself to this other person, and then when you break up, you're like, no, but we gave ourselves to each other, and it feels wrong because it is wrong. Same thing with this. It's like you're budding, you know, and you try to bear all in your budding times, and it doesn't work out.
Doesn't work. Chastity is rendering is justice, right? It's not giving. It's giving people to the extent to which they are due. Like, it's giving love to the extent that someone else belongs to you, right? It's like chastity. Yeah. That's why I typically tell when we're talking like people that are just starting out and dating, they're like, what do we do about our prayer life? Like, how do we pray together? Like, pray together, absolutely, but you don't have a prayer life together.
Go to a trampoline park and pray that you don't roll your ankle. That's the prayer life.
You don't have a prayer life together because you're not joined spiritually yet. Start building that while you're engaged, absolutely. But like when you're starting out, your prayer life cannot be tangled up with your girlfriend. Do 33 days to morning glory, whatever, together. That's fine. Do little prayer things together. That's cool. But like your prayer life needs to be separate. Like most of your life needs to be separate from your girlfriend until you get engaged. And then even then it's, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't.
I think it's cute when couples do little devotionals together.
I think it is cute. I think couples are allowed to have a little devotional as a treat.
You know, they get to do a little Michael Gately devotional. Mm-hmm.
You read your Jesus calling for the day together. Just have a good little time.
Oh, man.
Go get chicken nuggets. You know.
Yeah. Dating is supposed to be, that's another thing. Dating is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not engagement. It's not marriage. It's supposed to be just fun.
Those two things are no fun at all.
Those things are awful and you should never do them. No, they want the emotional depth and the emotional intensity of marriage and of engagement. But what you have is the emotional intensity of dating. And so they're confusing the intensity for the depth. Right.
The other thing is that you can't make it a thing that you're not sharing everything, because then you get far up your own butt about, like, I have several things about my past that I can't share until we're closer, and you, like, stare off into the distance. It's like, shut up.
What is, then you're gonna tell them right afterwards.
Am I watching Perks of Being a Wallflower right now? Like, what are we doing? Just
starring Logan Lerman and Emma Watson.
Logan Lerman is a made up name. That's not a real guy.
That's Logan Lerman.
Yeah, he's luring men into being stupid in their relationships. I tell you,
dude, I got it right. Logan Lerman, the guy who was in Perks of Being a Wallflower and apparently Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, Bucky Barnes.
Yep, that's him.
I'm
just kidding. No.
I think, yeah, you can't make it a big deal either. This is one of those things where it's like you have to just be normal about it.
That's another way to find out if someone's.
That is true.
That's another way to find out if someone's really conservative, good. If they know that joke.
Yes, if they understand what early life means on Wikipedia. Yeah, don't make a big deal out of it. Literally just have a nice beginning of your relationship. And then when you start to take it more seriously, I think it's okay to start talking about marriage and family and goals and dreams 3 to 6 months in, you know, to the point where you're exclusive. It's like, that's totally normal. But before then, you need to be getting froyo.
Yeah,
go to the roller rink. Go to the dog park.
Just picture 1950s mm-hmm. TV show, movie. Set in the
You need to be in an Archie comic. That's what you need. That's what your life needs.
Riverdale. Not that show. Rivendale?
I don't know about
one of them is Lord of the Rings. The other one is the weird teenager show about they're all adults, 30-year-olds.
I think it's
college, high school.
Sweet Life on Deck.
He is in that. He is.
Yeah.
I saw this tweet from that one of them that was like, please stop asking us who won the Danimal sweepstakes. We don't remember. Oh, that's so good.
That would have been the best.
To win the Danimal sweepstakes?
Well, to hang out with Dylan and Cole Sprouse for a day, because they probably would have given you some weed, and they probably would have hooked you, because they had so much money and they were so young. They probably could have been like, you want some weed? You'd have been like, yeah, Dylan and Cole Sprouse, let's smoke weed on the Disney cruise ship.
So one story about, they weren't on the cruise ship, I don't think.
Oh, I thought it was you get to go on a cruise with them and they had to like be your friend for a week.
I can't imagine that would be.
It was like a week long make-a-wish because you drank poison yogurt, you know?
Funny story about Dylan and Cole Sprouse. So my friend Matt was at Disney World, this is when we were younger, mm-hmm. and they were about to board Big Thunder Mountain and they were like, please leave, like, attention. They heard someone say like, oh, leave the back row empty. Like, don't load anyone on the back row.
Mm.
And they wouldn't say why. And so my friend and his mom and his dad were like, we're going on the second to back row, obviously, just to see what's up. And they all got on, and right before the ride started, this like guy came out of the back with two security guards came and they just put Dylan and Cole Sprouse on the ride behind them.
That's so funny.
Isn't that awesome?
What do you say to him as you're like flying through on Thunder Mountain?
They did talk to him. I don't know what they said, but that is really cool.
Do you remember that episode where you guys did a seance? That was crazy.
That was freaking wild, dude.
That was insane.
Why did you do that? It's a children's show.
Why did you have a seance? Do you realize? Do you understand the spiritual ramifications of what you've done?
You're like,
they're flying back.
Big Thunder Mountain is not a gentle ride.
I don't know what Big Thunder Mountain is. I've been on the Yeti ride and I've been on Space Mountain, but I've not been on Big Thunder Mountain, I don't think.
Okay, so that was Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. So you went to Magic Kingdom for Space Mountain, but you didn't go on Big Thunder Mountain?
Which one is Big Thunder? Is that the one with the that was based off the Song of the South, like the racist?
That is Splash Mountain, and that's Splash not there Mountain. Anymore. They changed it into Tiana's Magical.
Tiana's
Adventure.
What's the design? What are the characters at the Big Thunder Mountain?
The idea is it's a prospecting train, and it's in Frontiersville or whatever. And they we didn't get to go on it because we had two children with us. They couldn't ride it, but it's like a train that goes through. And the cool thing is there's there's optical illusions that make it look like you're going to hit your head on the rocks. that's like that's one of the cool features.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just cool for me because I'm that.
People always duck, and it's like, do you really think they would make a ride? Well, they did that in the Schlitterbahn at Kansas City where someone
got
decapitated, unfortunately. Yeah.
That sucks.
It does. It's like really sad. He went on the slide, and there was something that was wrong, and he just.
Dang.
Crazy. Anyway, do we have any more questions? Is that all? I don't even remember what that question was.
We do have one more question that Ben said. This is the. This is the end of episode question.
Okay.
So
I'm great. I'm ready.
Can someone tell me? I don't think this is a dating question.
That's fine.
Can someone tell me how to find the Catholic maxing guys? I was evangelical Protestant and the subculture there was so easy to navigate. It's obvious what circles to go to depending on what vibe you're looking for. Catholicism goes way harder than Protestantism, obviously, but I can't find people my age, 24, that take themselves seriously. I mean, I get that like Father Altman would be going too far, but I was hoping for at least a 6 out of 7 on the Jimmy scale. The Jimmy scale is something that I came up with a while ago about Father James Altman and Father James Martin. They're everyone somewhere in between those two, so he wants to be a 6 out of 7 on the
Jimmy scale. Aiken is perfectly in the middle.
Someone who will tell my bisexual older sister to submit to Rome, but like nicely. I became Catholic. She'll grow out of it. I became Catholic at Pentecost this year at a great FSSP parish, but I don't live in that city anymore. There's a TLM here. It's not as established. I had trouble getting connected. There are definitely more people at the Novus Ordo parishes, and I'm trying not to be super extra and judgmental because I recognize how annoying that could be, but my goodness, Eucharistic ministers make me want to die. Anyway, do I really commit to the TLM parish and give it time? Should I make it to the NO parish, the Novus Ordo parish, that at least doesn't have female altar servers? Man, this guy really went both feet in. Is there some other way to navigate Catholic subculture? What do I do? This was sent yesterday at 1:57 a.m.
That's a great
thinking about this.
Brother is hurting. Are we sure this is a guy? It's a fella?
Oh, I don't know. I did assume that the super trad convert was a guy.
You never know these days. Women are getting more and more extreme.
More and more based, yeah. I don't know if it's a guy.
Okay. Let's assume it's a guy and try to make our advice gender neutral.
Okay.
So you're gonna want to join a group. Well, it's actually the advice is totally different for a man and a woman because when you're a woman,
just give both advice because we have men and women that listen to our show.
That's true. If you're a woman, you need to be very careful about whatever friend group you join because they're all going to try to date you. All of them.
Yeah.
So you have to be very, very discerning with who you throw your lot in with.
Oh my God.
If you're a man, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want.
Because you're just going to try and date the girl.
Because you're going to try to date whatever girl shows up. I don't know. I think I think you're coming from a Protestant worldview, which is the church that I'm at defines my community, which is not really the case in Catholicism. Someone can go to a parish that is a total flop with regards to liturgy and community, but be a very strong and faithful Catholic. And someone can go to a TLM parish or a super reverent Novus Ordo simply because it's just the closest church to them and they have no real interest in anything. And so
like, have you seen those Catholic match profiles where it's like, what, I'm a TLM Catholic. I agree with the church on the Nicene Creed, but not on premarital sex and contraception. It's like, whoa, wow. Okay, cool. Yeah. TLM only fornicating. All right.
Yeah. Nick Fuentes viewer.
Boom.
So I think it's, you have to broaden your scope. It's not, you're not going to find your community at the parish level per se.
Yeah.
You need to find other ways in other places that young Catholics are hanging out in your community. So you can start with the diocesan young adult group. You can also start with different organizations. So try the Knights of Columbus, try going to the, like if you're Catholic radio, if there's like a local Catholic radio, do they have any events that they're putting on? Is there like are there any speakers coming to town? Can you like go to a talk that like a Lenten mission and then kind of scope out and see who's there? Are there people who volunteer for youth ministry? You know, because oftentimes you can find some young adults that volunteer for youth ministry. There's different things. So you just got to try and think about what you're interested in, what you care about. And if you just try to go to things, not just at one parish, you know, and don't just limit yourself to Sunday mass, but think more holistically, that will be a better way to locate other single people, because they're not, they're going to mass and they're checking out. They're leaving. Nobody's staying around for donuts or anything as a single person. So
volunteer for the high school youth group, because that's where all the young adults go. The young adults never volunteer for middle school. It's a shame.
It's hard, because when you volunteer for middle school, it's more difficult to get them to fall in love with you and date them, which I think is a goal for I think is a goal for some young adult volunteers, whether they like it or not. Where's the lie?
I think it's less sinister than that.
I don't think it's that sinister. I do think there's a lot of validation seeking that happens in the
adult. That's what I was going to say. There's a lot of validation seeking. There's a lot of validation seeking in high school youth ministry, I think, because that's where all of your wounds are in high school.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you kind of try and relive them.
So you're 24, you're coming back, and everybody thinks you're cool, and you're like, well, I am actually cool. And it's like, that, you don't need that happening. You know, you need to either know you're cool or know you're not cool before you start, and then don't let children perceive you to change that.
Within 0.2 seconds of being a high school youth minister, I noticed that in myself. I was like, I got to fix that. Can't.
You were looking for validation from the kids?
Oh, absolutely. And then I was like, now this can't. But this wasn't when I was full time. This was when I was doing Franciscan Lead or Franciscan Sent with Franciscan. And I was like, I noticed, it's like, oh, the kids that I perceived to be the ones that were similar to the ones that were mean to me in high school, it was like harder for me to interact with them. And I was like, I should probably stop working out of that, you know, woundedness. Yeah. I should probably just, you know, get over it. And then I did. Yeah. And I was a better youth minister because of it.
I think if you want to find Catholics who are more like you, you should just take your friends that aren't Catholic and then make them Catholic. Is probably
and how would they go about doing that, Ethan?
Well, they go to convinceyourfriends.com.
Convinceyourfriends.com.
Link is in the description.
We sponsored by us. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by convinceyourfriends.com. Go to convinceyourfriends.com. We're doing a sale this week on convinceyourfriends.com. I didn't tell you
what
we're doing.
Great.
I want to try it out for this week. So until I announce it, I'm announcing it tomorrow.
This is coming out on Sunday.
Okay, yeah. So it'll be for this whole week. Yeah, it'll be for this whole week. The Convince Your Friends boot camp, which is normally $99, is going to be pay what you want.
Oh.
So it is a dollar. Like, the toolkit was free. If you wanted to donate, you could. This is going to be pay what you want. So it's at least a dollar, but it's pay what you want. I want to see what people value this at. And so
$10.
It's pay what you want for the week, and then
$20.
Yeah. Let me know, pay what you want. And then we want people to get a lot of value out of it. And so we're doing pay what you want for the week, and we'll see. We'll see if that sticks around.
There you go. I'm trying to think of other ways that you can summon Catholics out of the forests to come hang out with you and spend time with you. It's really hard if you're not coming from an established mission field already. Like, if you were in Focus, you can find other Focus people. If you did youth ministry, you can connect with the other youth ministers in the diocese that did things. But if you just converted and you're coming in raw, you really have to just start trying stuff. And eventually it might be for you, it might be the Diocesan Young Adult Softball League. That might be your thing. For me, that's the exact opposite of where I want to spend my time, because not because I don't like those people. It's just,
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. And so, like, I'm not the type of guy that would enjoy playing softball on a Tuesday night. I don't like a sport where you have to make it even for everybody, you know, softball, kickball, like, men and women are both playing, you know, volleyball.
Oh yes. Yeah.
I would much rather play like soccer, full speed, basketball, full speed, and just, you know, whoever can keep up. But then you got to play, oh, we're going to play kickball. Why are we playing kickball? You know,
kickball is fun for the kids.
Oh, and the guys can't bunt. Okay. Maybe women should be faster. Like, why are you just root? Like, you're okay. We're going to play this game. Actually, we're not playing this game. We're going to play a different version of the game that you can't be good at. It's like, well, okay.
Man, we could have solved the NCAA high school sports controversy by just bringing in advisors from diocesan softball leagues. Like, no, we can't have men and women playing together. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Either have to handicap the men, or you give the women brain damage. That's the only two options.
Ultimate Frisbee is a good one. You can play Ultimate Frisbee mixed genders.
Oh yeah, that's easy. Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. That one's good. Regardless. Spike ball.
Yeah, the Diocesan Spike Ball League. Mm-hmm.
The Diocesan Spike Ball League. I'm just thinking everyone's about stuff got I like one. To do now. Yeah. you got to try stuff. Maybe go to the Crunch Discord and make some friends there, because we got a lot of sixes and sevens in that chat. So come on down.
On every scale you can think of.
Yes. That'd be my final advice. We can wrap up the show. Thanks for converting to Catholicism. We're glad to have you.
Let us know how we're doing. Yeah, leave a 5-star review. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe on YouTube. If you want more of this, you're like, wow, I listened to all 501 episodes and I don't know what else to do. I'm out of podcasts. Great news. We have a bonus podcast that comes out every week, and you can access it for how much is it?
Right now it's $10 a month.
Right now it's $10 a month. Wink. Right now it's $10 a month. So for the price of less than a cup of coffee, about a cup of coffee a week, you can get an extra episode of The Crunch for $10 a month. Patreon.com/TheCrunch. Incredible.
Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Yes. Today I maxed out the leg press machine at my gym. It was a great feeling. It was incredible. I maxed it out, did 5 reps of 400 pounds. So that's my news for the day. I'm getting strong.
Congratulations. Thank you, all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.